as I like to talk about the culture of America and how it reflected, how it is reflected on the baseball diamond. You could go back to the 1800s. You could go back to till yesterday. How baseball is reflected through Bryce Harper and attitudes and sound bites and Twitter. You can go back to the early 1900s of the trusts and the monopolies that went on and the way baseball tried to control everything in those days. And then you get into the 20s and you get to the Southern baseball player and the way that baseball player got signed, got acknowledged, and got located by baseball scouts and very colorful people. They weren't college graduates at that time, and they came from little towns and mill towns, and they really had an effect on the game. And one of which is the name of Bobo Newsom. They called him baseball's traveling man. So joining us is Jim McConnell. He's written Then and Now, a weekly sports history column for the Pasadena Star News and its affiliates for the past 20 years. He's won numerous writing awards, including those bestowed by the AP, California Newspaper Publishers Association, the Greater Los Angeles Press Club, two-time recipient of Sabre's Research Award, and he lives down in Covina. But Bobo Newsom, baseball's traveling man, one of the interesting characters of baseball. He pitched from the 20s into the 50s, but a real character. And, Jim, nice to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Marty.
Yeah, tell us a little bit why you chose Bobo Newsom, and you've heard my little preamble here. He sort of was reflective of the player that came from Hartsville, South Carolina, and came up through the South. Kind of an interesting character.
Yeah, very interesting character and a difficult subject for a researcher because he played for so long for so many teams and was, you know, kind of a fellow who told tall tales. So even when he's quoted in the paper, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. It's not, you know, it's not entirely reliable as history, but it's... Yeah, we started out with a project I was working on for McFarland Publishing out of North Carolina, and obviously they kind of wanted this Bobo biography done, and they'd been searching around for somebody to do it. I was doing research on the old St. Louis Browns, and it kind of led from that into doing Bobo, who played for the Browns, among many, many other teams. And that's where it started, and it took about 10 years to put the book together. Just,
wow.
Yeah, well, it, like I say, you want to go through daily newspapers for some like 25 years. It's that's going to take a lot of time. So,
well, it's a beautiful story. Jim McConnell is with us. The name of the book is Bobo Newsom, N-E-W-S-O-M, Baseball's Traveling Man. I want to read a little bit from the back cover so fans get an idea of the effort and what you put into this and why it's such a great story. Despite his success, he was sold or traded 14 times during his 20-year career, pitched for 9 of the 16 major league teams, including 5 stints with the Washington Senators, made sports headlines nearly every year for holding out, being suspended or traded in an era when players seldom changed teams more than once and rarely defied authority. Newsom always seemed at odds with the powers to be. So you drew on interviews with family, friends, and former teammates, and this is the first full-length biography of Bobo Newsom. But he was a heck of a pitcher, Jim, and really maybe his highlight turned out to be being part of the Tigers in 1940 in the World Series. And this is one of the great baseball moments, and it's a very colorful story, and it's part of the legend of the game.
Well, it is, and he was a very effective pitcher. He won 30 games out here in the Pacific Coast League in 1933, and that was his springboard to the major leagues. And he was very successful with the Browns and Senators, but and Red Sox, but those were not good teams. And once he got on the Tigers, things turned around in a big hurry. He won 17 games for the Tigers in 1939, pitching only part of the season for them, and then won 21 games in 1940. And got them into the World Series. Actually, the last week of the season, he won both games of a doubleheader to help them clinch the pennant. They won on the last weekend of the season. They beat Bob Feller to get into the World Series. And he was rested by that time, so he was going to start in Game 1, and he did. He beat the Reds, who were also the somewhat unexpected champions from the National League. And he beat... probably their best pitcher, Paul Dellinger, and 8-3 in Cincinnati. And Cincinnati's not all that far from South Carolina, so all the family members came up from South Carolina, including Bobo's father. And Bobo's father had never seen him pitch in the major leagues. In fact, they weren't speaking. They were at odds, a long-standing family feud. And so Bobo won that day, and the family all got together in the hotel afterward in Cincinnati, and they had a kind of a little party, and I guess some amends were made. I don't know. I wasn't there. But that night, his father died, had a heart attack and died. And obviously, the family and Bobo was distraught, and basically, Bobo disappeared. He just wasn't around. He left the hotel, no one knew who he was. Did he go back to South Carolina? Where is he? And he wasn't available for games 2 or 3 or 4, and he finally showed up and started game 5. Some trepidation on the part of the Tigers. They didn't know whether he was, what sort of mental state he was in. But yeah, he went out and pitched a shutout, won 8-0, pitched a 3-hitter. One of the great pitching performances in World Series history, actually, even under any circumstances. He was just dominant. He was had a good fastball, probably threw in the mid-90s. We don't know, but judging from player accounts, probably around 90s, and a great slider. Ted Williams said it was the best slider he ever saw. So he was on that day and totally focused and won the game and collapsed afterward, just cried and sobbed and said, "That's for Dad." And obviously nothing phony about that. He was, under the circumstances, just overcome with grief and elation and all those feelings that we have. And that got the Tigers up 3-2 in the series. They thought they could win Game 6 and that win the series, lock it up. Unfortunately, they got routed in Game 6 and had no one left. They had gone through all their starters. So Del Baker, the Tigers manager, decided, we'll start Bobo in Game 7. And just because they had no one else. And Bobo wanted to pitch. He always wanted to pitch every day. And he went out and pitched very well, led 1-0, a very tight ball game. It's in Cincinnati. And got into the seventh inning, and the Reds got a runner on, and somebody hit a high fly to right field. And the runner on second was Frank McCormick, who couldn't run a lick, by the way. And Jimmy Ripple hit a drive to right center, and the right fielder couldn't make the play on it, played it off the wall, and threw it back in. And Dick Bartel was the cutoff man. Dick Bartel, a Bay Area guy, by the way, and a former Giant. And for some reason or other, Bartel, who had a play at the plate on McCormick, who could not run and gotten a bad break off a second and had been deked to third by Pinky Higgins, the Tigers' third baseman, to kind of like the ball had been caught. So McCormick was dead to rights at home. I mean, he would have been out by 50 feet. And unfortunately, Dick Bartel held the ball, and even in spite of his teammates yelling, throw it home. So that brought in the tying run, and Ripple wound up at second, and they sacrificed him to third, and they scored on a fly ball, and Reds were up 2-1, and it ended that way. The Tigers were never able to come back. Overall, it was a great series for Bobo. Won 2 games, pitched 3 complete games, and that doesn't happen very often.
Boy, one of the legends of baseball. Jim, you tell the story very well. Jim McConnell, Bobo Newsom is the name of the book, Baseball's Traveling Man, published by McFarland Publishing. And you could get it all over, I imagine, on the Internet?
You can get it directly through the publisher, or you can get it through Amazon. It's not in bookstores. They don't sell retail, but... And there's also a Facebook page if people want to go on that, and that's what it's called, Bobo Newsom, Baseball's Traveling Man. It has some of the material that didn't make it into the book for various reasons, and obviously the book would have been 1,000 pages if we put everything in there. But
I remember his baseball card in the early 50s with the Philadelphia Athletics, and he looked old then. I couldn't believe how old he looked on the baseball card. And then he would send a telegram, I remember, to either the Giants or Yankees, and when he showed up with those New York teams, said, "Don't worry, Bobo is here." And he was always a very confident man. I remember that about him. But why did they call him Bobo?
It was a nickname that came about. His original nickname was Buck, which is a family named him that when he was very young. His father owned a cotton field, and Buck Newsom was working out. Bobo was working out of the cotton field, and the fact that he wasn't very efficient, and but anyway, it was somewhat sarcastically put on the Buck nickname. But yeah, in the 1930s, he played for the Senators, and the manager was Bucky Harris, and he got tired of being confused with Bucky and Buck, and so he drifted into this Bobo nickname, which is Spanish for fool, as a lot of people know, but it's also a carnival term of a big dumb guy who does the heavy lifting. And so Bobo had been in the carnival as a teenager and worked the carnival, and he was into carny lingo, and that's where it came from. And just seemed to fit. And if he, like Babe Ruth, he called everybody else Bobo because he couldn't remember anybody's name.
Well, this is the culture of baseball, the culture of America, how it translates onto the baseball field during that time. I love the book. I think it's terrific. I learned a lot. It's called Bobo Newsom. Jim McConnell wrote it. McFarland Publishing put it out. Jim, great to have you on. I enjoyed doing this and connecting sort of the dots of the culture of America with baseball, so I appreciate your being on.
Well, thank you, Marty. I appreciate the invite, and you got a great show going there. Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. All right, more coming up. That was Jim McConnell. Raph, do you like that? Raph's on the phone. What do you think, Justin, of Bobo Newsom? Thumbs up for that. Yeah, interesting story. This is I love the culture of America, and here's a guy from the cotton fields to the baseball field. He didn't like the nickname Buck and calls himself Bobo and turns out to be a World Series hero and goes to the seventh game. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine the drama? I mean, can you imagine today, you know, his father dies before game five. He disappears for 3 days. Can you imagine this happening today? Now, you just can't. But this is what baseball is all about. And like Peter McGowan said, you have families that know this story and tell the story and tell the story. And this is why the game is so unique with these kinds of stories. And on a Sunday morning, I enjoy bringing some of this stuff to you.